You always listen closely to someone's last words. The disciples certainly did before they saw Jesus rise into heaven. Like a runner in a race, Jesus passed the baton to those he trained to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. His words in Acts chapter 1 galvanized his followers then, as they should us who believe now. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new series that tells what happens when God is first. Turn with us to Acts 1:8, where we're learning that He owns our hearts, and that may mean making the ultimate sacrifice.
And you shall be my witnesses. The Greek word is the word from which we get martyrs. You shall be my martyrs. You say, well, do we have to die for Christ? Listen to what happened, okay? In ancient Greek, the word martyr simply meant witness, that you witness to the faith. So many of these witnesses died in the early centuries because of persecution that pretty soon the word martyr, which meant witness, began to refer to people who laid down their lives for Jesus. So you say, you shall be my martyrs, you shall be my witnesses, Jesus said. And where did he say? He says, first of all, in Jerusalem. I can imagine the disciples saying, oh, not Jerusalem. This is the place that crucified you. This is the place where the hostility level is unbelievable. And if we're identified with you here, send us somewhere else, Lord, and we'll witness for you, but not in our hometown. You know, sometimes witnessing in our hometown is most difficult. Some of you, God bless you, we'd all rather, I think, at times be sent to some place where nobody knows us, and then we could finally witness. But, you know, it does begin even in the home. If you ask me, one of the most humbling experiences that I have is not only to preach at Moody Church, but yesterday I spoke at Promise Keepers in Kansas City, 17,000 men. I could not believe it. And one of the things that was told us there is this, that when a teenager accepts Christ as Savior, there's a 17% chance that the rest of the family will follow. When a mother does, there's a 34% chance. And when a father does, catch this, fathers, there is a 93% chance that his family will follow him. Fathers, you are to be witnesses in the home, your Jerusalem, where it begins. You say, well, I don't have the power. That's why we're here, is to learn how to get the power. Aren't you glad you came? Judea, that's our community. Samaria, a racial barrier. You know, the Samaritans were half-breeds. You know, just take the hostility that exists between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and remember, this is so recent in some respects. The same hostility existed then between the Jews and the Samaritans, except that they didn't have car bombs. If they would have, you'd have had the same story played back then that you have played today. And Jesus said, that's where you're to be witnesses, outside of your comfort zone. Outside of the place where you want people who are just like us. No, people who are not like you. And then the uttermost part of the earth. Have you ever wondered what's happening in Acts chapter 2? The gospel is going forth in different languages. Acts chapter 2 has been such a stumbling block to people because they say, well, you know, if I'm filled with the Spirit, do I have to speak in tongues? That's what next week's message is on. If you've ever wondered about Acts 2 and you say, what in the world is God doing? Is he throwing some kind of a party? I mean, suddenly Peter is speaking perfect Egyptian. Listen, when next week's message is over, you will be doing naturally what they did supernaturally. I promise that there will be such a commitment of your tongue and such an understanding of how to talk of the wonderful works of Christ that all of us are going to be able to do it. That's next week, to the uttermost part of the earth. Now the question is, how do we receive this power, though? Jesus said that you shall receive power. Now, he asked the disciples to be up in the upper room for 10 days. And the reason for that was, first of all, for unity's sake, so that they might be of one mind. You know, God can bless us individually. He can even bless us as a church if you're out of fellowship with the Lord, but not nearly as much as He could if we were all of one mind. And that means laying down animosities. That means the indifference. Those of you who are on the fringes, who somehow feel that, you know, you're here kind of as an observer, you're brought into the middle of it, and you are of one mind. So He says, wait for 10 days. Secondly, there was a sense of purity and yieldedness that needed to take place. Now, we don't have tarrying meetings here at the church. We have prayer meetings, we have days of prayer and fasting, but we don't have tarrying meetings. And let me explain why. Because when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, that was a unique event. It was something like the incarnation at Bethlehem. Jesus had predicted a new era of the Spirit, so the new era of the Spirit has come, so the Spirit of God is already with us and among us. But some of the same kinds of attitudes and commitment that they had should be ours as well, to experience the power of the Spirit. So in order to help us and to make this very simple, you know, I always say that God has, I've always prayed that God would keep me simple, and my staff thinks that He's overdone it. But to make this simple, I am going to be referring to other passages of Scripture now, just to help us to understand how do we walk in the Spirit. But first of all, I have to tell you a story, and then we're going to apply it. You know, there are two different ways that you can tell whether music is on a CD. One way is to read the label. The label says there's a certain song on the CD, and it's a reputable company, and so you say, yeah, I believe that that song is on that CD. It's one way. The other way is to take the CD and to put it into a CD player and listen to the music. In the next few moments, I'm going to tell you how you can take the CD and put it into the player to experience the power of the Spirit. But first, the story. When archaeologists uncovered the pyramids, and they went down into the pyramids, and they found all those mummies, what they discovered was that in some instances, grain was put into jars and buried with them. How old was that grain? 4,000 years old. And they took that grain and they put it into the ground. And believe it or not, it grew. Amazing. For 4,000 years, there was life in the kernel. For 4,000 years, those kernels had the ability to reproduce themselves. And there they were in a jar doing nothing, with no life and no reproduction for 4,000 years. And there are Christians like that. They have the Holy Spirit. You can read the Bible, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit indwells all Christians. But they've never experienced a life. They've never put the CD into the player. They have never allowed the blessed Holy Spirit of God, who has been given to us, to break out of their lives and produce the fruit of the Spirit so that they can become a fruit-bearing Christian and make a difference and live with God first. So I'm going to tell you how now, and it's all based on four words. Four words. The first is yielding. Yielding. I want to share with you what I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years, virtually every single morning. Before I get out of bed, before I try to prove the power of mind over mattress, I lie there and I say, Father, today I give you my day. Today I give you my eyes. Today I give you my mind. Today I give you my body. Today I give you my affections. Today, as best as I know how, I give you today. You see, what God wants to do is to go into all of the rooms of our life. You know, you come into the room and there's the library with a computer. And Jesus wants to feel at home in your room that has the computer and the books on the shelf. Can you invite Jesus into your computer room and say, Jesus, this computer is yours, and everything I use it for honors you. Jesus wants to come into the into the dining room where our appetites exist. And he says, am I king here? Is it okay? Can I look what you've got in your cupboards? Jesus also wants to come into the other rooms of our life, maybe the den where the television set is, and say, now I'm going to sit with you on the couch and let's watch the news together. Do you invite Jesus into every area of your life? The first is yielding. The second is feeding. Now, let's go back to the pyramids and the grain. Why didn't that grain grow for 4,000 years? Answer is, number one, they were in a place, those kernels were in a place that were too dark. The place was too dark and it was too dry. And then they weren't even in the ground. They were in a jar. Yielding takes those kernels and it at least puts them in the ground. It doesn't guarantee that there will be any fruit, but at least it has the potential that kernel does for growing. And so you take it and you put it into the ground. That is yielding. The next step is feeding. Feeding. How do you feed? You have two things. You need rain and sunshine. And the rain is God's word. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today I've ended by talking about some of the disciplines that we have to have as Christians. And of course, that's always a challenge. I discovered that there's this tension between resting in the Lord and being diligent and being very diligent in our prayer life and in our Bible reading. So on the one hand, you have those who say, well, you know, I'm resting in the Lord. And they think that holiness is going to happen to them by osmosis, that somehow holiness is something that will just invade them without the disciplines of the Christian life. On the other hand, you find that there are those who are very disciplined, but at the same time, they become rigid and somehow their love relationship with Jesus Christ is lost. Well, here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. It says, let us labor to enter into rest. There you have the beautiful balance, don't you? We labor to enter into rest. Now, I've talked about the Word of God, which is like rain, which washes us, the washing of water by the Word. I've talked about the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us, and both of those work together. So I need to ask you a question. Today, have you begun the day with God? Have you begun the day in His Word? Have you submitted to Him? Have you said, Lord, today I give you myself? You know, before I get out of bed in the morning, I almost always pray and say, Father, this is your day. I get out of bed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because I want to begin my day with God. And then, of course, later I have the opportunity of reading the Word, praying, yielding. That's the way in which we grow. Well, God bless you, my friend, and let us grow in Christ together.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up part two of He Owns Our Hearts, the first message in his series, When God is First, taken from the book of Acts. Tomorrow, we'll find out what weeding is all about. Be sure to join us. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. When God is First is a series designed to help all of us order our priorities. All 8 messages can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God is First. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.